Continuing to look at God's mission. Does it matter? Matters to God. The question is directed, obviously, at us. And the vision that I think that we see, and the mission that we see God giving in Isaiah 56, is that his house is a house of prayer for all nations. A mission that his people, not just when they meet in a building, but his people generally, are a people of prayer for all nations. A house of prayer, full of people from all nations, all walks of life. And people who maintain justice and righteousness and keep the Sabbath. Two phrases that occur a couple of times in this passage that Noah and Michael read earlier. I want to just spend some time looking at each of those, firstly at justice and righteousness. I get the impression that the people of Israel at this point have kind of stopped obeying God. They've stopped living in God's ways because of discouragement. If you were here last week and the introduction to this series, then you will know that the people have been in exile, taken into Babylon. And so being forced to perhaps live in a different way and not seeing God work amongst them in the same way. So they're discouraged. All that's happened in the past seems to have gone. There's a remnant left. Nothing positive happening. So this what's the point kind of attitude. God doesn't seem to be doing anything. We're not that great nation anymore. What's the point in obeying his laws and keeping to what he says? But then there's this vision of future blessing, of being taken back to Jerusalem. Then they might be thinking, well, we'll follow you then. When you start blessing us, we'll follow you then. But God is saying that they're to live rightly in justice and righteousness in anticipation of what is going to happen, despite the circumstances and the difficulties. God desires that same attitude of justice and of righteousness, of living rightly, obedient to him, whether in exile, in difficult times, or in blessing. I wonder how that sits with us, how that kind of works for us. Is that our experience? We get discouraged. Life is difficult. We might think we're trusting God more sometimes when things are difficult, that we rely upon him more perhaps than if everything's going hunky-dory and fine, then we might become a bit complacent. But what about our way of life, our everyday living? Our faith is not just about what we believe. Believing is also about how we act, how we live out our lives. We had, some of us were here yesterday morning. We had street pastors refresher training. If I'm honest, wasn't particularly looking forward to it. Paul's nodding in agreement. But it was brilliant. It really was. I found it a really encouraging time. And partly because there were lots of things that I thought, oh, I can use that this morning. But thank you, Lord. One of the things that we looked at, you might think, obviously, is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this wonderful, we watched this video at the end of this wonderful older lady just sharing some scriptures about the basis for being a street pastor and scriptures that can really encourage us. And one of those was the parable of the Good Samaritan. And her talking about, it's not about putting our faith into action, and that this wasn't just something that the Good Samaritan happened to do on that particular occasion because of the circumstances. He acted that way because of his belief. It was just a natural thing to do, to care for that person, a right thing to do. Mike read earlier from Matthew 25, the passage about being Jesus to other people, caring for the homeless, for the sick, for those in prison. Mike and I had very minimal discussion about this morning. But the Holy Spirit, I felt, was really, obviously with Mike, as he prepared, and the songs that we've sung, and that passage from Matthew 25, about living out God's love and his mercy without boundaries, showing God's love to all people, not just those who we might feel close to or responsible for in some way, or who are similar to us, but everybody. Secondly, the passage from Isaiah 56 talks about keeping the Sabbath. And some of us are old enough to remember when Sunday was a day of rest. Shops weren't open at all, were they? Lots of nods from the back row. Thank you, Maureen. And the Keep Sunday Special campaign in, I think it was 1985 that it was started. And I can remember signing stuff and lots of discussion about how Sunday was to be kept as a day of rest and people not being forced to work on Sunday. I was really surprised that that campaign is still ongoing and still works with trade unions and politicians to make sure that people... obviously, many people do work today, and Sunday is in many ways no different to any other day of the week. But the people's rights aren't eroded in any way. But Sunday was a day of rest, wasn't it? Regardless of whether people went to church or not. And I don't really want to get into the do's and don'ts of what we should do as Christians on a Sunday, because I'm not sure that's just not what's relevant for now and what this passage is particularly saying, or indeed what the New Testament infers. You know, when Paul writes to the Colossians and talks about the Sabbath, he says that things like the Sabbath are a shadow of things to come. The reality is Christ. Jesus says on the occasion when he's criticized for healing somebody on the Sabbath, he says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. I think that what matters is not what we, is that we do not rob God of time, of his time, spending time with him. Those who keep the Sabbath are those perhaps who have God as their number one priority in their lives and who want to spend time with him, praising him, enjoying him and all that he gives, perhaps enjoying his creation, enjoying the family that we have. Spending time, that time with God, should be, is an outworking of what we believe, an outworking of our faith, not something that we do in order to gain God's approval, but a result of knowing God's love and forgiveness. Spending time with God together is essential. Meeting like this, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says that the Christian should not forget to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing, but should meet so that we can stir one another up. Just for ourselves? No. Again, we have this being stirred up and encouraged in order to serve others, to be God's love for other people. Meeting together as a collective body of believers in order to encourage one another to be faithful to him and to live in a right way daily. Acts 2 and verse 46 and 47 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. That meeting together having an effect on the world around. People coming to Christ because of Christians meeting together, being strengthened and making a difference in their everyday lives. So we have this house of prayer. Church, if you like, if you see church not as a building, but as a body of people. People who want to give time to God, who want to send time apart from the world, but together so that they can be strengthened in order to be out in the world, living lives of justice and righteousness. People who, although they know they're special to God, also know that all people are special to God. and that desire of wanting to see everyone through the eyes of God, with his eyes, set apart in order to show God and his love to all people. A couple more scriptures that talk about this. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that exclusiveness, if you like, to be God's, but a reason. The reason being that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. And Jesus' words as part of his prayer for his disciples in John 17. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. They, us, are not of the world, just as I, Jesus, am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. You know, both Peter's words and Jesus' words suggest the same thing to me. That this sending out, this being a light, is for all believers. We're all priests. We're all chosen to tell others about Jesus. There's no suggestion anywhere, really, in the New Testament, that those who perhaps have a title of evangelist or a minister are the ones solely who are to tell others about Jesus, about God's love. Jesus' prayer is for all disciples, all who call on his name and have decided to follow him. And he sends us all out into the world in the same way that he was sent into the world, to demonstrate sacrificial love to all. The passage from Isaiah specifically mentions foreigners and eunuchs. Eunuchs were people who served probably primarily in the court of Babylon, and so might have been seen to be blemished physically, deformed in some way. I wonder, in our society, who would we consider to be the kind of parallels, if you like, to these foreigners and people who are a bit different? Single mothers? Young single mothers? Criminals? People of another race or religion? Immigrants? Those on benefits? How do we treat them? If we come into contact with people like that at all. Perhaps more importantly, how do we feel about them? You know, yesterday we were, there are three kind of key things about street pastors. So they are caring, listening and helping. And we spent a long time, or a certain amount of time, just talking together about what those things mean. And you know, one of the things I found really good was that people were very honest yesterday. At one point we shared what we felt we'd learnt over the last 2 or 3 years in being a street pastor. And I use that term, as you know, to include the prayer pastors and those on the management committee as well. You know, it was for all of us. And what we had learnt about our role. And, you know, one of the things that struck me was how quite a few people said that they'd learnt to be less judgmental. Because they'd seen people and talked to people and begun to understand from their stories why they're drunk or whatever and do certain things out late at night. But going to that caring, listening and helping, Paul asked the question to us all, which of those do we find the most difficult? And I was really struck by, I asked Ray's permission to share this, by what Ray said. He said he found the caring most difficult. Because the listening and the helping were both actions. They both involve doing something practical. Even listening is a practical action, isn't it? It takes hard work, some of us particularly. But he said that he found caring difficult because that was an attitude, not just an action. And I found that really challenging. You know, we can do the right thing, we can want to serve, we can help, you know, perhaps particularly whether it's street pastors or doing something else. But do we have compassion? Do we care for that person who is so very different to us, who lives a life that is perhaps foreign to us in some ways, who has attitudes that are very different to ours? Do we care for them? Do we have that love and compassion for people who go around acting in a particular way that disturbs and upsets other people? God wants us to proclaim his message of love and salvation by showing compassion and kindness to those who are affected in some way or have been mistreated, those who are isolated, who've been trampled on. And he wants to use us to bring those people into his house of prayer, into his kingdom. God's mission is to gather still more than he has already gathered. Is that our mission? Is that what's on our hearts? Do we believe that he can use each one of us to bring others through our lives, just through our everyday lives? Through our belief, do we believe that he can use us to bring those people into his house of prayer? All people matter to him. Do they matter to us? We're called. We're set apart. The problem arises, as it did for the Israelites, when we forget what we're set apart for. We're called out for God's purpose. And his purpose is to use us, to bless us, yes, but to use us and to bless us for the sake of others who do not yet know him. We're chosen, each one of us, in our own way, different ways, to fulfill God's mission, his desire of the whole world, knowing the love of God in Jesus.